morning. We're studying the book of Genesis this week. This is Trust the Bible, growing your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. I'm Pastor David. What we see throughout the book of Genesis is the story of broken, sinful, filled with pride, self-centered people that God uses to form a family that ends up being his instrument of bringing salvation to earth. So we see a beautiful story of redemption, God's grace, God's ability to work even through sinful people to bring about something beautiful. It should encourage each of us, whatever trial you're going through, whatever burden you're going through, you can relate to the people in Genesis. I believe what happens through this family is what Paul is going to base his teachings on, that we should rejoice in the Lord always, no matter the circumstance. Again, I say it, rejoice. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4. So we're talking about Jacob specifically. We're getting ready to get to the 12 sons that he has and all this family rivalry and bitterness. But really, it starts with Jacob and his character. He's deceitful. He deceives his father. He deceives his brother. He's on the run from the law. He wants to marry Rachel, but Laban, his uncle, gives him his daughter Leah as a wife instead, and Jacob doesn't realize this till the morning. It's interesting, he disguises himself so that his father doesn't know who he is. Earlier in Genesis, Jacob puts on his brother's clothes, puts on some goat skins so that his father thinks that he's his brother Esau, and now Leah, who's also a rival with a sibling. We have Jacob and Esau. Now we have Leah and Rachel. Leah makes Jacob think that she is her sister Rachel. So it's kind of like what goes around comes around, if you will. And Jacob finds himself married to the woman he didn't intend to marry. And you know what he could have done at this point is say, you know, I didn't want to marry Leah. My uncle and Leah tricked me into marrying her. But you know, who am I to judge? I've done the same thing. In fact, I've literally done the same thing myself. So, you know, I don't deserve any better. And I'm married to Leah now, and God says, you know, one man, one woman. That is his plan for marriage. So I need to now pray to God to ask him to help me love my wife, treat her like I should, take care of her. There's nothing unjust about this. I mean, Laban was wrong. Leah was wrong to do this to me, but I've done the same things myself. So I'm going to be the godly man in this home. However it came about, I'm going to make the best of it. But that's not what he does. Instead, Jacob says, I want to marry Rachel too. And Laban says, yeah, here, take the other daughter too. Marry Rachel. So now he has two wives, and Leah recognizes that she's not the one that Jacob loves. She loves her younger sister, Rachel. And so this causes great stress. You could even say depression for Leah. You see this because it says in Genesis 29:31, when the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, so she's not loved, the Bible just tells us that, he enabled her to conceive, but Rachel remained childless. Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Reuben. For she said, it is because the Lord has seen my misery. Surely my husband will love me now. Naming children was very important in biblical times. The name usually wasn't just something you picked because you liked how it sounded or it was trending or anything like that. It was, there's a story behind this birth. Let me name the child that is kind of a title for the story I'm going to tell when people ask, why is this child named Reuben? And Reuben means he has seen my misery. And so what Leah is saying is, I'm miserable because my husband doesn't love me. And she names her son after this. And she says, surely my husband will love me now. So she views her children not as a blessing in and of themselves, not, oh, I have a son. I'm so thankful to God for giving me a son. No, she says, God gave me a son, so maybe now I can get what I want, which is my husband to love me. Very interestingly, Rachel has the opposite problem. Rachel is loved by her husband, but we read in chapter 30, when Rachel saw that she was not bearing Jacob any children, she became jealous of her sister. So she said to Jacob, give me children or I'll die. Rachel's pretty miserable too. She can't have children. She has her husband's love, but she can't have children, so she'd rather die than go on. Leah has children, but she can't get her husband to love her, and so she's miserable. It's not just the first child. The first child doesn't get her any love. So the second child, she says, because the Lord heard that I am not loved, he gave me this one too. So she named him Simeon. And again, she conceived and she gave birth to a son and said, now at last, my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons. What a sad story, because she gets to the sixth son and she says, God has presented me with a precious gift. This time, my husband will treat me with honor because I have borne him six sons. You know, five sons didn't do it. Jacob still doesn't treat her with honor. She's still hoping, maybe one more son and my husband will treat me with honor. What a sad story that is about Jacob as a husband. But both these women are striving for something they can't get. They can't be happy with what they have. They can't say, God, maybe my husband doesn't love me, but you've given me six sons. I don't even deserve to have these sons. I don't deserve to have a husband. Everything you give me is a blessing to me. So I'm so happy with this. That's what Paul could say. I mean, Paul went through some hard times too. He doesn't have any children. He doesn't have family. He's shipwrecked. He's beaten. He's stoned. He's left for dead. And yet he says, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. So Leah's not there. Rachel's not there. Jacob's not there. He's miserable trying to find his way in life. Why? Well, the story is clearly telling us they're desiring what they don't have, and they're not desiring God. That's what ultimately this comes down to, is if God is their number one priority, the goal of their life is to bring glory to God, they're going to be content in living in the circumstances God has placed them in. And you can just see the pain unfolding in this story. By the way, Rachel says, give me children or I'll die. And the Bible goes on to say that later on, eventually, she does have a child. And at that point in the story, when she has Joseph, her firstborn, she has a child. She doesn't have children. And remember, she said, give me children or I'll die. Well, a few chapters later, she has her second child. So now she has children. She gives birth to Benjamin. She dies in childbirth. Literally, the moment that her request is fulfilled to have children or I'll die, the moment she has children, that's when she dies. Just interesting that the Bible tells us this. But Jacob, when he heard that his wife said, give me children or I'll die, here's what he does. He became angry with her and said, am I in the place of God who has kept you from having children? Now, I'll just tell you this, husbands, men out there, you know, if your wife says, give me children or I'll die, and clearly she's been, really stressed about this for years, the loving response is not, am I in the place of God who has kept you from having children? That would have been a stinging word to Rachel that I'm sure hurt her immensely. You know what a godly man would do? A godly man does what Isaac, Jacob's father, did. Isaac worshiped God. Jacob does not yet worship God. He hasn't decided if the God of his father, Isaac, is going to be his God. Isaac also had a wife, Rebekah, who did not have children, could not have children. And so the Bible tells us that Isaac went to the Lord and prayed for his wife that she might conceive, and she did. So Jacob can say, I'm not in the place of God, but you can go and pray to God on behalf of your wife. We see all these problems in this family. Rachel and Leah are enemies of each other. They name their children after their fight with each other, and they're just training their kids to fight each other, and we're going to see this all blow up in coming chapters. But the good news is, if you will come to God and pursue him above all things, Jesus says, come to me, you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And that is true in your life as well. We'll continue here next time. Until then, remember, you can trust the Bible.